At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Today, we're talking with Peyton and Brandon Carlisle. Peyton and my wife, Rebecca, have been friends for a few years, and Rebecca knew that they did a good job with their money. So when it came time to find some regular, everyday people to come on my podcast, Rebecca suggested them to come on as a guest, and they did not disappoint. There's some great information you can take away from today's episode. We discuss a handful of things in today's power-packed interview. We discuss how to feel confident about money, how to manage stress, how to learn about money, how to manage money in a marriage, and Brandon shares a fantastic story about changing how he views and handles money after he found himself in a financial situation that he didn't really like and ultimately one that he needed to change to ensure that his relationship with Peyton stayed on track. Be sure to stay tuned for today's interview because I can guarantee you'll be able to take something away from it. Before we dive into the money talking points, I wanted to talk about a few new things that I'm going to be doing with the podcast. I want to do more show segments and different parts of the show and things like that. I'm looking to expand the show and make it a little bit more in-depth and detailed. I would love to hear your feedback in terms of what you want to hear more of, what you may want to hear less of on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. So please go to skylarfleming.com/feedback to send your comments my way. I'm happy to take any information and see how we can apply it to the show. You're going to notice some new sections of the show, and I hope you're excited for this next evolution of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, because I definitely am. I'm also most excited to be featured as a guest on a handful of upcoming podcast episodes, and I'll be sure to share those on social media so you can head over there to listen to me as well. The most recent change of having more everyday, regular guests on my show has been great, and hearing about their experiences with money has been awesome. I found this new style of conversation to be super exciting, really engaging, and really interesting for me. What do you think? Recent episodes with friends of mine like Josh Tonge or Luke Enzine were both great conversation. Today's episode as well is one where I'm talking to a couple about how they handle money in their regular day-to-day life. But the money talking points for today's episode are, what financial behaviors have you allowed to slip into your life? And two, do you feel that there are any small adjustments that you can make to get your finances back on track? With the money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where talking about money is encouraged. Let's get talking. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm joined today by Peyton and Brandon Carlisle. And these are two, Peyton is one of my wife's friends. So we're excited to have this conversation because my wife helped set it up and everything like that. So it's going to be a fun conversation here, talking with two regular everyday people about how they handle, manage their money, learn about money, things like that. So we'll start with Peyton, but would you both go ahead and introduce yourself for everyone?
Yep. I'm Peyton Carlisle, and I'm from Farmington, Utah, and I work for Zions Bank right now in commercial real estate lending, which is something that I really enjoy. So I'm a portfolio manager there and get to work on lots of big real estate loans throughout our state and some other areas, and it's been a lot of fun to get to do that. I've been there for 3.5 years now.
Cool. What's the biggest loan you've ever worked on?
There was one that was $150 million and Zions held $75 million of that. That was probably the biggest.
That's more money than most people will see in their life. So that's a big number to be
throwing
around.
Sometimes I catch myself being like, oh, that's not very much money. And then I'm like, oh, wait a second. That's a lot of money to normal people. It's just not.
I hope that's a lot of money to anybody. Like, if you really don't think that's a lot of money. Is,
but there are for sure times where I'm like, oh, it's just a small loan. It's only $1 million. And I'm like, yeah, that's a lot for most of us, but it's
That's small, interesting.
Small compared to the day to day.
You're interacting in like a different realm when it comes to numbers and stuff like that. So that's cool. Yes. Well, Brandon, would you go ahead and tell everyone what you do and a little bit about you?
I'm Brandon Carlisle, 33 years old, also from Farmington, Utah. We live in Woods Cross though right now. I work for Farmington City in the water department. So just making sure that everybody has healthy, clean drinking water. So as long as it looks good when it comes in their faucet, they're usually pretty happy.
Yeah, probably one of those departments that people don't realize what they have till it's gone. So
exactly.
Yeah. Doing important work. Awesome. Well, we're just going to dive right into it, talking about money. We got some fun stories to share that you guys have prefaced me with, and I'm excited to learn about them and learn a little bit more about how you both handle money and everything. But let's kind of just start out the gate. We'll start with Brandon on this one. How did you learn about money in general, like money management and such?
Probably, I think, like a lot of people, just like their parents kind of giving an idea and like sharing with them. They're like, saving money is a good idea, and like don't find yourself in debt, and just make the right decision when it comes to money. Like, as long as you're spending within your means, you'll be good. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that kind of just helped me from a young age kind of learn that that's an important thing.
Yeah, spending below your means is definitely like the most well-known phrase, I would say. But Peyton, what were you going to add?
I was just going to say that's very similar to how I learned. My parents were very good examples of saving and, you know, being financially savvy and fit. And so they helped set that example for me. And then I started listening to the Money Guy podcast like a year and a half ago. And that has also greatly impacted and influenced the way that I think about my financial decisions.
Yeah, that's one of my podcasts I always mention when people need something else to listen to, is go check out that one. It's a really good one. So there's another recommendation for everyone. I guess for both of you, we'll start with Peyton. How do you guys feel confident in your life around money? How do you make sure you know what you're doing and feel like you're on track?
Listening to the Money Guy definitely helped with that. So it kind of gave us baselines and like good factual data about what we should be saving for retirement, and kind of some just rules of thumb that we could use in our financial decisions. And so then from there, we've been able to be like, okay, we feel like we are doing what we need to be doing here. And that has allowed a lot of freedom and flexibility and a lot of peace as well, that we're confident we're doing what we need to be doing.
Awesome. Brandon, does that help you feel confident? Do you like when she brings you these ideas from podcasts and stuff like that?
Yeah, I've listened to several of them myself. I wouldn't say I'm quite as religious as Peyton is when it comes to that, but like there's definitely some, like she'll send me like an episode or here or an episode there, and like sometimes I'll just go do it myself, because mm-hmm. there really is like some really cool things that I've been able to like learn from there and kind of grow my understanding of finances. Cause like you have the basic finances, and then you have like the higher up, like retirement mm-hmm. and 401ks and all that jazz that I've learned about slowly over time, but they kind of give it to me in some more understandable.
Yeah, a little easier. Peyton, do you feel like using resources like that is extremely beneficial, or do you feel like it's just something like, should everyone be doing it, listening to podcasts and stuff?
I mean, I think so. If like, I knew how to save money before listening to those types of podcasts, but I really didn't know what the best route to do that was or how much I should be saving. And so it's given me just like, I feel way more in control than I did before. And so I think it's super valuable to make that effort. And even small like bits of increased knowledge or ideas can help you to have healthy conversations and change the way that you treat your own finances.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like listening to those episodes helps you maybe get ahead of potential financial struggles and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think there were like some financial struggles I already knew to be ahead of. Like I already knew to have emergency reserves saved mm-hmm. up and knew that I should be saving for retirement. But it impacted very much how much I was saving for retirement and some of those types of decisions. So,
yeah, awesome. I think it kind of allowed us to know exactly kind of where our money should be going at a specific time, like more than just putting money into our savings account, like preparing for our future. But what steps specifically should I go to first? Like, should I go to saving for my kids' college, or should I mm-hmm. save all for my retirement and all that stuff? So it's just kind of a perfect like ability to give you some steps that will help you to get you on the right track, especially if you're just trying to figure out how to budget and prepare for your future.
Awesome. Well, we're off to a great start. We're really rocking and rolling here with some great tips there for everybody. So make sure you're listening to other resources and stuff. Like you guys said, it helps you get ahead, figure out those specifics. Cause like I was saying with what Brandon said, everyone's heard spend below your means. Everyone's heard save more than you spend, things like that. But what do you actually do with that part between where you spend and your means. Like, what is that? So that's a really great insight just to start out. And I think that, as well as maybe spending above your means, can be a source of stress for people. How do you guys manage stress with your money? How do you even stay on top of that? Because money can be stressful whether you're in a good place or not.
I mean, I think that I tend to get more stressed about everything than Brandon does. So for me, part of managing that stress is having frequent conversations about it, making sure that we're on the same page, and that when we set our goals, we make sure that we meet them. So like our savings, that happens. That just happens automatically before we even spend a dime. And so that helps a lot, I think. And just working on it together. And sometimes I'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed about this upcoming. Typically, like right now, where my stresses lie is we're expecting our first baby. And so I'll be like, I don't know how much it's going to cost to have a kid in daycare, or like how we're going to, like how this is going to change what our expenses look like. And so it will, to help me not be stressed about those things, we'll sit down and we'll do research and we'll talk about it. And we'll like make sure that we have run numbers and things that make me feel more confident and like, okay, it's going to work out and it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Brandon, as the person who's probably mitigating some of that stress, how do you feel like having that conversation helps?
I think it helps me kind of like get on Peyton's level and realize why it's causing her stress. Because like she said, like I'm most of the time not a very stressful person. Like it takes a lot for me to kind of feel like I'm in a high stressful situation or something like that. So I either am able to help talk Peyton off the ledge a little bit, like it's not as big a deal, like we're going to be totally fine or whatnot, or she's able to bring me up to her level, like, yo, bro, we got to figure this out. Like, this is causing me stress and you should be worried about that too. And so it just allows me to kind of use both of our strengths to be able to help each other out. And like, Peyton's like amazing at Excel, obviously, because that's what she does pretty much all day, every day. And like, it just allows me to see it in her light. I'm like, first it helps me just understand where she's coming from, and then also see the numbers for myself. And I'm like, yeah, that definitely is something that could be a problem. So we kind of need to attack this before it becomes an issue.
Peyton, do you feel like those conversations are helpful? What do you think about them? Similar thoughts or?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, and fun. Like we, not only are we getting to plan for the future, we're getting to dream for the future together and make sure that we're on the same page about how we want to get there. And so it's really exciting to me. And I enjoy, like, we sit down every month and update our like spreadsheet of how much we've spent that month and kind of look at our budget and where things are at. And then every year we also will update our own personal financial statement. And I look at a lot of personal financial statements at work. So ours isn't quite like some of our guarantors there, but it's a lot of fun to get to sit down and be like, wow, like look how far we came just last year. And like, let's see what we can do this year. So,
yeah, I hear the money guy thread through what you're describing and stuff like that with your annual net worth statement and stuff like that. It's super fun. Yeah. And whenever I hear other people say, oh yeah, we have our monthly budget meeting or we sit down twice a year or something like that, I'm like, go you, because Rebecca and I do the same sort of thing. And it's just the best thing for us as well. It helps us a ton. And I don't know where we'd be without it, quite frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. Super, super beneficial.
How do you guys make those fun? Because I think some people hear, oh, you sit down every month and talk about money, and their anxiety builds in their chest and they get all worried. How do you guys make it fun?
I think it kind of goes back to like what Peyton was saying. Like we talk about like how we did that month, but we're more like talking about, oh, because we did so amazing this month, like we're going to be able to save up more and be able to dream for the future. Like we have a lot of future plans that we hope that one day we'll be able to accomplish. And just because we're able to talk about that, it kind of just allows us, I think, to focus more on our budget each month. Like when we're going through the month, you're like, oh, because I was able to sacrifice this, I'm able to do this one day down the road. And for some people, I don't know if that works exactly. Like obviously there's a lot of people who are here and now type kind of people, and it's hard to kind of see that lighted in a tunnel is probably not the right word, but be able to see the future. And like, because I'm sacrificing now, I'm going to be able to do what I really want to do. And so it's sacrificing the small things for the greater good.
There's for sure like big things that are farther down the road, but there's small things or smaller things that we are totally getting to enjoy right now. Like we, Brandon went to Hawaii for the first time this year when we went in January, and we went to Europe together last year. And so like, there's things like that, that we're making sure we're having fun and doing things that are really valuable, outside of our, you know, monthly meetings that we have where we look at stuff. And then I think another thing, like something that would make those meetings stressful is if you feel like you're like getting in trouble for what you've spent the prior month. But we're very careful to use our budget as a guide, but not as like, not as a, I don't know, law that, that we're going to be punished if we break. And I think that there are maybe times in people's lives where they do need to treat their budget like a law, but we're not at that point in time because we're already saving everything that we needed to be saving. And so the budget really is just like a spending guide, and we're still saving above what we're, what we need to be saving each month. And so that makes it a little more enjoyable too, where it's like, oh yeah, our grocery bill was higher, inflation, gosh dang it, it just keeps kicking us in the can. But it's not like something where we're like, how could I spend more on groceries, or how could we? So
yeah, I feel like a perfect example is I think you might learn in this podcast that I love Mountain Dew, and we have limited my Mountain Dew consumption, both for my health and for budgeting reasons, because things multiply over over the month. If you continue to go to the Maverick or the gas station and get your Mountain Dew, like, but she's never getting mad at me. Obviously, it helps that I'm close to within what we have budgeted. Yeah. If we open up the Mint app one of these days and she's like, there's 31 days worth of Mountain Dew purchases on here, I think there might be a different tone than she would should have. But for the fact that we trust each other and like we're not, she's not constantly looking at our statement like, oh my gosh, she's going to the gas station again. I'm able to know that we're not going to judge each other like Payton said. And so it's just even the small little things, just as long as you're trying your best and you're working together as a couple or by yourself, if you're not married, like just don't beat yourself up over it because you're trying your best and it's kind of a hard journey, the whole saving money.
Yeah. I like what you said there, that you guys don't feel like you're judging each other. And it's cool when you get to that place. And I wish Rebecca wasn't working right now, or we could have her on here too, because I think that'd be a fun conversation for two couples that I would say are doing well with their money and know how to talk about and handle their money. It'd be a really interesting conversation, because I think there's a lot of threads between what both of us are doing. And that's fun to see. And it's fun to hear you guys doing well with the things that can cause a lot of, I guess, turmoil in relationships. And marriage is something that can be really hard when it comes to money. And like you said, Brandon, you don't feel like she's judging you if you do buy soda, but you also know that there are limits. How do you guys get to that point? Because I don't know, for Rebecca and I, there's definitely a point where that number of what can I spend without asking is lower and it's growing and things like that. How do you guys get to a point where you get to that judgment-free zone?
I think it came down to, I'm going to go back to the Mountain Dew specifically, it got to the point where we're able to openly talk about it. Like at first for me, it was very much a challenge since I came from single life and
yeah, get it when you want.
No one to tell me how much Mountain Dew I could consume and everything like that. But it was something I think that we talked about when we were dating and stuff like that, because Peyton wanted somebody that was going to be financially secure and everything like that. But then we got to a point where it got brought back up again by myself. I'm like, we keep on talking about how amazing we're doing. Like, why can't I buy like more Mountain Dews and stuff like that? But it came to communicating and then also compromising, because it wasn't like Peyton laid down the law, like you are 3 Mountain Dews a week and there's no talking about it. And then I came back and negotiated, and I guess it was the same drive conversation that we were having, but we're able to talk and compromise and allow each other both to be in a spot that made us happy. And I think as long as you're at a point where both parties are happy, it's a lot easier not to to step over that line and feel like you might go above and beyond what you're supposed to.
How do you bring up that like maybe you feel like, oh, we don't want to spend as much money at the gas station or whatever it might be, coffees, whatever. How do you bring up that to your spouse?
I mean, I think that you just have to both be willing to have those conversations. Like that's the most ideal situation is when you're not worried that it's going to like cause a fight. When you bring something up, you can just bring it up and have a healthy discussion about it and make sure that you're both on the same page with where you're feeling things are at.
Awesome. That's fantastic. There is a whole bunch of great info for everybody, whether you're married or not, I would say, because like you said, it got brought up while you're dating that you want to make sure you're both financially secure. So like you're going to bring up money, whether you're married, not married, single, it's going to come up across the board. I want to get into, because we're racing through time here. This is a fun conversation, but Peyton, you shared that Brandon has a story about changing his views on money. So I want to make sure we touch on that. Brandon, can you share a little bit on that story? How did you handle money before? And then we'll kind of move through your story.
Well, if we're going to put it into a small little nutshell, not good. I kind of started out like I think most people, like I got my first full-time job and like, you're like, oh my gosh, I make so much money. I was 21 years old and naive compared to the money that I make now and stuff like that. But like I was doing everything that my parents had told me. I was saving money. I was going to buy my first car. I got to $10,000 really quick. And I'm like, oh, this is so easy. And like, there's no problem with it. And so I bought my first car, a 2010 Hyundai Sonata, put down a very healthy down payment, knocked out the car payment in a year. And then I guess you could say the beginning part of me changing for a negative happened. Like after a few years, I'm like, I need a better car. And like, I didn't go like insane. I just bought a newer Hyundai Sonata because I really liked the Sonata. Yeah. So I did that and I paid that off in a year. And so it doesn't sound bad, but I think going through cars on a quick basis can definitely lead to negative things. So, but then I got myself a credit card for the first time. Me and my parents were going on a trip to Boston and I love going outdoors and doing adventures. So I got myself a Cabela's gift credit card. So I was able to get some reward points from booking the flight and the Airbnb and all that jazz. In the beginning, like it wasn't all that big of a deal. Like I'd pay my monthly payments every month and do exactly what you're supposed to be doing. But then a car problem came back up again. I've always wanted a truck. So I bought myself a used Toyota Tacoma. I put down some money on it, like not probably what I should have, but like it wasn't a horrible decision. But a couple weeks after I bought the truck, I was driving home and there was this horrible thumping noise that I heard. And so the next day I took it into the shop and they're like, you need like $4,000 worth of repairs on like the front suspension area. And because of choices that I had made to put money towards a down payment, which I probably didn't have all that much. Like I didn't have the money to fix the Tacoma. So I still had the Sonata and I sold the Sonata, but I didn't get like a crazy amount of money out of it. I got enough to fix the truck and everything. And I continued to drive that. But then I think the real problem was I got to the point because I didn't have all that much money. I was just I was buying things on credit and I was still continuing to pay it down, but I wasn't paying it off at each month like I had previously been doing that. And so, and then I got to the point where I was eating out breakfast and lunch. I kind of wanted to have the here and now cool things. I bought half jazz season tickets. I bought BYU season tickets for my dad and my brothers. And then just a bunch of different non-essential things throughout my life. And I continued to try and save money like into like a savings account and then also try and lower my debt at the same time. Like at the peak, I got probably close to $5,000 in credit card debt, like not an insane amount of money, but compared to what I wanted to be at. It's a heck of a lot of money, and it's kind of it keeps you a prisoner to where you don't want to be. And so I just got to the point where I'm like, I just can't deal with this. And I admitted that I had a problem to myself.
What led you to change your habits? Like what do you think broke, what's the straw that broke the camel's back, I guess?
The real thing that fixed it was Peyton here, because of like what I'd mentioned already. Like, I'm going to give myself a little credit. Like, I knew I had gotten rid of the credit card a little bit before Peyton came into the picture. We started dating and everything. I stopped using it, but I was still had debt and everything, and still trying to save money. But it wasn't until me and Peyton started dating, like a month or two into our relationship, that I'm like, if this is somebody that I'm going to spend my life with, like, I have to have this awkward conversation. Like, she had no idea that I was in this situation or whatnot. And I knew that it was something that had to get in the open. And I knew that it was not going to be easy, because of, I knew that she was in a strong financial situation. And I knew that the partner that she wanted in life also had to get on board with that. It was a get on board or get off the train type kind of thing. So we had that really challenging conversation, and I opened up to this whole story. I told her the whole story about everything, and we kind of just went to bed not knowing exactly where we were going to be at as a couple or whatnot. So, but the first thing I did when I got home was I had that money in the savings, and I put pretty much all of my savings that I had and paid off the rest of my credit card debt. It was about, I think, $1,700 that I had to do. And I'm like, well, at least this will show her that want this to work. So, but there was, that was just the very beginning of trying the to, changes. Of changes. I had to stop eating out. I had to sell like individual games for like the Jazz and stuff like that and make money back that way so that I could build up savings. I had a ton of like subscriptions, and because I was living at home, which was also a really bad thing in this whole thing, I didn't have expenses, but I was had Netflix and Amazon Prime, taking my family out to dinner because I'm like, I have rent to pay in a way. So I just kind of went with that, but I've came to find out like all those stuff really add up quickly over time.
Yeah, they're all small things that just pile on. Peyton, how does this feel from your perspective? So you're dating, and this story gets dropped on you, and people can often, like, especially if there's a financial thing like this, like debt that you're not aware of, can just feel like a bombshell in a way. How do you feel having this conversation on the other half of it?
Yeah, I felt sick. I was like, I thought that this could work. I don't know if it can work. Like, this isn't the type of thing where I'm going to meet in the middle. Like, he needs to get on my level or it's not happening. Like, I was very clear about that at the time. And we had a lot of very honest conversations about where things were at. Like, I was like, honestly, like, I have to see major changes before I'm willing to like move forward or build a life with you. Like, things have to be different. And so they were like pretty severe changes at the time, because we also, like, as time went on and we continued dating, we were talking about getting married, and I was going to buy our home. And so I was like, dude, you got to save up some cash. Like, I need to have you have cash that you're bringing into this, this marriage too, if I'm about to spend all of mine on a down payment or a lot of mine. And so, it was for sure challenging, but I think like I was able to see Brandon make major changes. His family was way supportive when he was like, hey, like, I'm not going to pay for all of these subscriptions anymore. So whichever ones you want, like, transfer the, like, put your cards in on them instead. Like, I can't afford to do this, and I'm going to be really careful for the next while. And so, like, they were willing to do that, even though I'm sure that was hard too. And I feel like we just had a lot of frank conversations. And as I saw Brandon make those changes, like, no regrets now. I remember being so afraid then, like, I don't know, like, what if he just does this temporarily or resents me for it? But I think Brandon very much was like, okay, this is, yep, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to be. And now too would say that it was so worth it and we're in a way better spot than he was then. And that's because of a lot of those changes that he was willing to make at the time. And obviously those were tighter changes, I would say, than how we even live now, but needed to happen for that time.
Wow. That story was super impressive. That's awesome. Both from both of your perspective, one that Peyton, you're willing to like stand up that firm because people might say, oh, it's okay. Let's back off of a couple things. Maybe you don't need season tickets right now, but you can still do the other things. You were firm, and Brandon, you're like, okay, that's what I got to do. That's some impressive stuff. And I'm glad you're both in a place now where you can be a little more free. Like you said, Brandon, you don't have to worry so much about buying a soda now. Whereas back then that might've been the one thing that broke you guys up if you would have stuck too hard to it. So that's super impressive to hear. That's super awesome. We'll wrap up here towards the end of this. And I just wanted to hear from both of you. What's something you know now that you wish you knew sooner when it comes to money?
For me, it kind of goes back to something I said already, like how much things multiply on top of each other. That $5 breakfast burrito and the $5 Wendy's biggie bag and the $2 Mountain Dew and the $19.99 Netflix subscription and so on and so forth. Like you get to the end of the month and they're like, there was $300 or $500. I don't know exactly what it was anymore, just because I don't have all the subscriptions and whatnot anymore. But just like, you're like, wow. Like it wasn't until I had made the change that I could see. I'm like once I had none of that, nothing left, like we got up to, like I got up to quite a bit of savings quite quickly because I was in a good place with my job and everything. So, and I still lived at home. Like it was just insane to see. Like, you're like, wow, if I would have made this decision 3 years ago, I had the same amount of money as Peyton has right now and we could buy a nicer house or something like that. And so
yeah,
it's definitely discouraging to look back now, but like I'm just glad that I made the decision when I did and like that we're both where we're at now and really able to be happy and do the fun things that we want to do.
Awesome. Yeah, the saying goes that like yesterday was the best time to plant a tree and today's the second best or something like that. Same goes with money decisions. So like we all could have made the better decisions 10 years ago and been in a better spot, but at least we're making them now. Peyton, what do you wish you would have known sooner?
I wish that I would have known sooner or realized sooner how much I should be saving for retirement. Like when I first started working, I was getting my employer match and I was contributing some to my Roth IRA, but I don't think I wasn't maxing it out. I was mostly saving in cash for a future down payment, which wasn't, it worked out and it was fine. But that same thing as that your tree saying, it would have been nice if I had known then how valuable that would be, but I didn't. And I learned fairly early still and am young enough that it's just fine. And we're going to be just fine.
Awesome. Yeah. And I think everyone, I hope all three of us here, there's always things that I wish I would have done 5 years ago and that's okay. So like, if you're listening now and you're saying, wow, I wish I had more often money talks, I wish we had better budget meetings or annual net worth stuff, like do it now and you're going to be far better off going forward. Don't hold too much regret over yourself. It'll be okay. But fantastic. Peyton and Brandon, thank you so much for both coming on here. This has been a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to join. It was fun to get to do this.
Thank you so much to Brandon and Peyton Carlisle for coming on today's interview. I thought that was a really great conversation. I want to talk a little bit here about the impact that you might be able to find on your life and the kind of impact that you can take and apply to your wallet. So one of the main things that I took away as an impact is, what do you do beyond just spend less than you make? What do you do with the money that is that difference? What do you do with that less than you make amount of money? One of the things that I think was most helpful is Peyton's idea of listening to podcasts and resources and things like that so that you can hear what others are doing with their money. I think that's a really great way to figure out what else you can do with your money that maybe you have left over. I also liked that stress is unknown. It's something that you got to figure out. You got to put in a little bit of time to do the research. And I love the idea of dreaming together when it comes to handling your money as a couple, or even if you're single and just living by yourself. Have a friend that you can dream about what you want to do with your money when you grow up or when you get older, or what you want to do now. That can really help ease the stress, but also help you get pointed in the right direction and figure out what you want to plan for. Also, another thing that applies to stress is that a budget is a guide, not the law. I really liked that quote, is that using your budget as a guide instead of the law allows you to have more open and free-flowing financial conversations and makes it a whole lot easier for you. Also, make sure you're willing to be open and compromise in a marriage, because frankly, that's going to happen regardless of whether you want to or not. So if you just give into it and be honest with yourself and honest with each other, your marriage is going to do a whole lot better with money. But let's talk a little bit about Brandon's story. I think it can be really impactful if you really pull away the lots of little pieces in there that you can learn things from. One is that lifestyle creep is real. You might not realize it, but maybe you have a little bit more money than you're used to. So then you spend it on a few extra nice things. You open up that credit card, you get some rewards points, then you want to spend those rewards points. Then you're spending a little bit extra because you didn't have enough rewards points. Now you're getting used to that nice trip you went on. Things like that. That lifestyle creep can really add up. It can really grow, and it can really cause a lot of challenges when it comes to reining back in that spending. And like Brandon shared in his story, he got into more than he realized, but then he had a motivating force to change with Peyton. And that's something I want to talk about a little bit more in depth later in this episode. But you need to make sure you're willing to change your habits, because that's going to probably happen to everyone at some point in their life, that we're going to get to this point where we realize, oh, we've let maybe things go a little bit too loose and we need to bring it back in. And a motivating force can be huge to help you with that. So make sure you listen to Brandon's story again and see what you can take away from it. I liked what they both said, that they wish they would have known sooner. Small things do add up, both with compound interest and with spending. I like to think of the credit card as compound interest in reverse. It's anti-compound interest. It's working against you a lot. So make sure you're avoiding credit card debt there. But like Peyton said, she wasn't quite sure what to save for retirement. I think honestly, everyone finds themselves in that place at some point in their life. So at least start with your employer match. And again, there's another episode that the employer match has been mentioned. So make sure you're getting it so you can check off that very easy personal finance win and get that momentum moving and working in your direction. But let's talk about the money talking points next. So the first money talking point is, what financial behaviors have you allowed to slip into your life? And one that I wanted to share a little bit about is subscriptions. And this is something that I've recently done, and something that I've thought about a little bit more recently, is that subscriptions don't need to auto-renew. And why is that? Because once it auto-renews, that's going to tell you whether you need it or not. Because when you go to auto-renew a subscription, think about it. Let's say you have Paramount Plus just for that one thing that you wanted to watch one time. Been on auto-renew, you haven't worried about it too much because you're like, oh, there's some good stuff on there, but have you actually watched any of it? So my tip is to go turn off auto-renewal, and then the thing is, if you notice it right away, you can keep it. But it's likely that you're going to get a month or two after, and you're going to be like, oh yeah, what happened to that subscription? Then you're going to realize you canceled it, and then you're going to realize, wow, I didn't really need it in the first place. And guess what? The subscription isn't going anywhere. They're not going to not allow you to sign up later. So turn off auto-renewal, and then see if you even notice that it cancels. If you don't notice that it cancels, keep it canceled, and then renew it when you want it. Like if there is that one show you really want to watch, buy 1 month, but make sure you turn off auto-renewal again, because that's where they try to get you. Subscriptions prey on auto-renewal. That's how they make their money, is by people mindlessly sending it to them. And if you want to mindlessly send money to people, I'm happy to take it from you. So you can pay a subscription to this podcast, but don't bother with subscriptions. They're not worth it. Cancel them. Don't let them auto-renew, and then figure out if you really need them or not. The second money talking point is, do you feel there's any small adjustments you can make today to get your finances back on track? And honestly, it goes hand in hand with our first money talking point of, what do you feel has slipped a little bit? I just listed a bunch of small adjustments you can make with your subscriptions, but a couple other ones are things like make more than the minimum payment, put a reset in place on a spending category that's got out of hand. Do you feel like your fast food eating's got out of hand? Well, maybe commit to 1 week of meal planning and see how that goes and compare the cost savings there. One thing that my wife and I like to do every now and then when we feel like we've spent a lot of money is having a no spend week. It can help you do some small things to have a reset. And maybe you do still spend some money because yes, there are necessities, but a no spend week can help you realize, wow, I didn't realize how much we were spending. And it makes you really think about if something is necessary or not. And then if you really still need it in a week, you can buy it then. But those are the two money talking points. What do you think about them? Let me know on social media Or send me an email. My email, of course, is in the show notes, but I want to talk about some new sections that I have coming up. So up next is Money Talk Mastery. Welcome to Money Talk Mastery. This is where we are going to take a little bit more of a deep dive into a specific topic from the episode. So, what are we talking about today? Well, what if you find yourself in a hard financial situation where you don't want to be? We're going to talk a little bit more about that motivation that it takes to get out of those situations. A huge applause to Brandon for digging himself out of the situation before it really got too far. I think in the interview, he shared a little bit about how it wasn't a ton of credit card debt he was in, but it was credit card debt. It wasn't a crazy financial situation, but it was one that he didn't really want to be in. What is your motivation for wanting to change your financial situation? For Brandon, it was Peyton and their relationship. But let's say you're doing okay. So you're listening, you're doing well, you're checking those boxes, you're hitting those things that all the podcasters are talking about, and you're doing pretty well and you're not drowning in debt or anything like that. What keeps you motivated to do well? That's what you really need to consider. It's not just a driving force to get you out of debt or to get you to change your financial situation, but it's really something that keeps you moving along the path. Often it's going to be others in your life that help you stay motivated. Like with Brandon, Peyton helped him stay motivated and helped him get motivated to go on the right track. He kind of knew what he needed to do, but she helped him figure it out and get it on track and help drive his motivation a little bit. Do you have a spouse, friend, or children that are relying on you for money or that can help you stay motivated, that can help cheer you on or celebrate you when you have those financial wins? That's great. Others in your life can really help you stay motivated when you are doing pretty well in your financial situation and you just want to stay on that path and keep your momentum going in the right direction. But what if you are in a really bad financial situation? Forget about your situation for a second, whatever it may be. And let's dream together for a little bit. If money was no object, what would you want to buy right now? Do you like to travel? And where would you go if you could afford it? Do you have others in your life counting on you for financial stability? And there's always somebody counting on you for financial stability because whether you have a spouse, children, or anything like that, you're always counting on you for financial stability. And what were the point of those first couple of questions? Well, what do you want to buy right now? Where would you want to travel and such? Those are things that can help drive your motivation a little bit because maybe you want to travel, but you know deep down you can't really afford it. But what if you could? That's where dreaming can come into play to really motivate you to get you out of a bad financial situation. So sit down and have a dream session with somebody and really think through what could motivate you to do better with your personal finances. Consider those questions, help you find your why, and then begin to work towards progress on changing your financial situation. And then refer back to episode 11. It's called Finding Your Why. It's a great episode to go back and listen to. That's a long time ago. It's over 100 episodes ago, as we're now on episode 126 and counting on. And there was one little thing that I want to talk about next that Peyton mentioned in our interview today. Let's talk about that next. Welcome to The Handy Hint. The Handy Hint is going to be a little bit of a segment where we talk about something small and quick that can be helpful for you in your financial life. So one thing that Peyton mentioned is their net worth and tracking their net worth. We mentioned that this was from the Money Guy Show, as they are really huge advocates of tracking your net worth annually. And that's what I want to have as our handy hint today, is the annual net worth statement. Sitting down and documenting your net worth regularly, at least annually, is a huge thing towards motivating yourself. Because as you start to see that go up, it gets more and more fun because that number grows faster and faster. And that's just awesome to see. But that's going to be today's handy hint. Are you tracking your net worth at least annually? If not, get started with it. Welcome to What Are Others Saying? What Are Others Saying? A section where we talk about some of the recent social media comments or feedback from you. I wanted to bring up a few comments from social media and talk about them here on the podcast. Dave the Scholarship Coach mentioned that he enjoyed seeing one of his previous guests on my show. Danny Kofke was on a recent episode about affording vacations. And Danny Kofke was also on Dave the Scholarship Coach's show on his podcast as well. So thank you to both of them for coming on my show. They were both fantastic guests and I'd love to have them both back on sometime. Bob Wheeler also commented and said, thanks for the opportunity to talk about money. It doesn't need to be taboo. And that's a throwback to the episode with Bob Wheeler just recently. I really appreciate him coming on my show. He had a lot of great info to share and a fantastic story about how he felt with money and his relationship with his mom when it came to money. That one's a must listen to. So be sure to go find that one wherever you listen to podcasts. Let's wrap up today's episode next. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so excited for the next steps of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. There's going to be more segments and more depth to the show, so you're going to want to make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss it. Also, like I mentioned at the beginning, be sure to look for me as a guest on some other podcasts. I'll be sure to share those on social media and let you know when I go on those other podcasts. So if you want to hear my voice on some other shows and hear me get questioned, those will be a great place to hear some of my takes on what other podcast hosts have to ask me. That was a great conversation with Peyton and Brandon. I'm really excited for them because it's awesome when a couple has a good, healthy money talk between them, and it's awesome how they're doing with their money. You can tell that they enjoy talking about money and that they know that by talking about money, they're going to do better and better and better with it. It makes me think, though, that I need to get my wife back on the show. She hasn't been on since episode 88, and if you want to hear my wife come back on the show, let me know and I'll make sure to pass on the feedback to her so that we can convince her to come back on the show. That'll be a good money talk for us to kind of catch up what's been going on in our lives, what's been going on in our lives, and kind of get a catch up on how we're handling money now that we're approaching 4 years of marriage. Anyone can do well with money, even you. Like we talked about today, start to dream and then figure out what it's going to take to get there and make sure you have a money buddy along the way. Money buddies are someone who you can help stay accountable to. And if you need one, let me know. Shoot me an email and I'd be happy to be your money buddy and talk to you about money and get you going on the right track. It all starts with a conversation and being open. Brandon had to be open to Peyton, but Peyton also had to be open and honest to have clear conversations with Brandon. So make sure you're having those good, healthy money talks. And subscribe and share today's episode with a friend, and then go have a money talk where you can be open and vulnerable and learn a little bit more about each other and how to handle your money better. But thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.